What a wonderful time it is when we come here on a Sunday morning and we see the children up here and we sing these great hymns. It just encourages me even more to know that I have come to know Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and that I have that hope of eternal salvation. Now, before we begin this morning, I'd like to ask a question, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to apologize in advance for anybody who might be offended by the question I'm going to ask. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to ask the question. It's just that if you're offended by it, I just want you to know that I'm not asking this question to offend anybody. That's kind of a morbid question. And the question is, if there was one characteristic that you have that you would want to be remembered for, and someone could put that on your headstone after you passed away, what would it be? Now, you can't tell this person what it is that you want to put on the headstone. It's a characteristic you have that they would have to see in you, that they would have to know you, be with you, spend time with you, and understand who you are in order to do this. So what do you think? What would it be? World's greatest grandma? That's a good one, huh? World's greatest grandpop? Loving mother and wife? Devoted father and husband. Here's one that if Jerry Risen was the one who was responsible for putting this on my tomb or on my headstone, it would be always in trouble. How about preacher of the word? Bible-believing child of God. My favorite prayer warrior. I'm going to tie all this together in a message, so just bear with me. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to read from verses 21 to 24. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. This is a verses about Enoch. And the Bible doesn't say much about Enoch, but there is a lot to be known about Enoch. So beginning at verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now you notice that twice in these verses, we read that Enoch walked with God. But we also realize, when we look at these verses, that he didn't always walk with God. But the first 65 years of his life, his life was no different than the lives of those around him. If you read the accounts of Genesis that center around this reference, you'll see that Enoch lived in a world similar to the one that we live in today. We look at this and we say, well, how can that be? But we're going to go on and I'm going to explain that. It may not have been nearly as primitive as we thought it was either in the days that Enoch lived. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. Genesis 4, 20 through 22. Adah gave birth to Jubal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Here we're told about what was it like in those days, what transpired. So let's look at each one of them. Jubal, the father of those who lived in tents and had cattle. In this reference, we see a life with many of the physical and material comforts of life. There were tents, dwelling places. There were houses, maybe homes, permanent places to live. Also had cattle. Cattle. That includes the ministering of physical needs and material comforts of life during the time of Enoch. Now, Jubal, his brother, who was the father of those who played the lyre and the pipe. Well, this suggests a world that was developed in music and the arts and culture. Tubal-Cain, he was the father of all those who dealt in forged instruments of bronze and iron. And this suggests mechanical age in which Enoch lived. In all of this, we see a civilization that was basically like ours today. A domestic culture with arts, music, mechanical conveniences, all the comforts of living that we have in our society today and in this world. And in the midst of this world and all this that was going on, this man Enoch lived for 65 years. Now, there are some very strong suggestions that this is a highly developed civilization. And we know this because archaeologists who have gone through and dug up some of the ancient things of the past, this would indicate to us that this is true. It was before the flood. It was definitely a developed civilization. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 indicates that for the first 65 years of his life, he most likely went right along with the thoughts and the lives of the men of his day. There was no difference. We don't see any difference until a certain point. And in this day, what were these people trying to do? It appears that they were trying to live their lives without God and be happy without him. And when I look at this world today, isn't that exactly what we're trying to do today in this world? Of all our culture, of all our comforts, all our civilization, all our discoveries in the world of sciences and mechanics and conveniences, it's all centered around one thing: finding a life without God. This is the direction and this is the philosophy of the world of our day. And it was in the world of Enoch in his day. That philosophy was be happy without God. Take a moment and think about what we have in this world, and you'll understand what I'm saying. But then we see after the first 65 years of Enoch's life, there came a circumstance which caused him to completely turn around. And it was the birth of Methuselah. This was a life-changing event. The birth of a child is definitely a life-changing event in anyone's life. It was complete about face, a dramatic change. In the midst of this same world that was trying to be happy without God, this man began to no longer walk with the world, but he began to walk with God. And I'd like to concentrate on that. Enoch walking with God. For the next 300 years, that's exactly what he did, as we read in God's word. Verse 22, then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. Let's look at this for a moment and see what is meant by this turnaround. First of all, this is not literal, but figuratively walking. When it is said that Enoch walked with God, it doesn't mean that God appeared to him and he could physically see him. It doesn't mean that God appeared to him in any form or that he actually physically walked with God. What it was a faith. And this faith is what promoted this walk with God. It meant that Enoch was going in the same direction that God was going. When you walk with someone, you must walk in the same direction that they're going. Enoch was walking in the same direction as God did. I remember as a teenager growing up, my dad, he had rules for us as children that we were to abide by. And when he came up with these rules, it appeared that he was walking north when he came up with these rules. And as I got to be a teenager and I began to understand these rules, well, I began to walk south. And we were definitely not walking in the same direction at all. It was many, many years before we started walking in the same direction. It was a rough time, not an easy time. I know I brought a lot of it on myself, but it's the way it was. Well, let me ask you this. What direction is God going in? What is the direction in which God moves in human history? Do we have any idea? I think we do. It's obvious as we read the newspapers and we watch the news on TV, it's a changing scene. Everything is a constant state of change. Nothing is permanent. Earthquakes shake the ground. Hurricanes and storms change the landscape and rearrange it completely. I'm sure you all remember Sandy. When you look back and you go downstairs and you look at the board down there and you see the pictures of what Sandy did to this chapel and the surrounding area, it's absolutely amazing. Nobody ever thought it was going to be that bad. Not even a clue. Three storms happened to collide at the same time and it brought it about. And it rearranged everything. The boardwalk was gone. You go down, you look at the boardwalk now, it's a whole lot different than it was before that storm. the chapel downstairs, a whole lot different than it was before that storm. So this is what happens. These things take place in this day and age. Movements are always sweeping through nations as well. Think about it. They're changing and shifting radically, altering the look of things that we can hardly keep up with the constant change of life. But in the midst of all of this, is God is moving in a single direction. And what is that direction? God is always moving in a direction against sin. And I don't know about you, but boy, I'm so thankful that he is. Changed my life. And that's the direction that God moves in human history. And we see evidence of this all through the scripture. When we read the Bible, we see that God is always moving against sin. So if we walk with God, we will always walk with a sense of dependence upon him. We'll always walk with a security. Feeling that security, we'll always walk with power. Not only did Enoch go in the same direction as God when he was walking with him, but he kept in step with God. This reminds me of a marching band. And when I think of the marching band, I know that Jerry Risen, he was the head of marching band when he was teaching school. And there was one football game that I used to go to, and it was Asbury Park Long Branch game. And Jerry would bring the band out there onto the field, and they would march. They were all in step, all in step. Now, I've seen on TV, and I've seen in other high schools, where one person, just one, would be out of step. Everybody turns to the left. This one person goes straight or turns to the right. And everybody notices it. Sticks out like a thumb. You can't miss it. And we laugh. We think it's kind of funny. A person gets back in there. It's kind of embarrassing for them. And they get back in step. I remember when I was in the Army, marching in formation. I was marching left, right, left, right. If you turned, everybody turned. On occasion, somebody did not turn. Somebody would stop. They would stand still or whatever. And the consequence was not only being embarrassed like it was being in a high school band going in the wrong direction, but the consequence was going to be that your drill instructor was going to take you aside and he was going to direct you in a different way. And you were going to be told how to march. And you may be out there by yourself for hours doing that until you got it through your head that you were to march with everybody else. But walking with God doesn't mean running ahead of him or walking a few steps behind him or walking 5 yards behind him. It means staying in step with God. As he walks, you walk. I walk. He is going to keep moving forward. Are we going to keep moving forward? Enoch, exactly what he did. His faith was so strong that everything else that was going on around him was of no consequence. He realized what he needed to do, and he did that, and he moved forward, and he walked with God. Walking is a series of steps. It's one step after another. You can't walk by taking a step today and taking another step 6 days later. That's not walking. In fact, I'm not even sure what that is. We all know what it means to take a step towards God. I'm sure we've all done that in our lives from time to time. I remember the first step I took towards God was the day I came to know him as my Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on this possible walk with God. And there's nothing greater than walking with God. There's nothing more secure than walking with God. There's no more joy in your life that you could have than walking with God. We all know what it means to take a step forward. God is at work as we walk with him. You see, walking is a series of steps and it's a progress. God is active. He's affecting change in our lives. He's moving. He's not simply sitting still. When I think of that, I think, wow, could you picture God sitting on a throne with his feet up, lounging around, not being effective in anyone's life, not interacting with anybody, no prayers being answered? What kind of life would that be for you and I? What would this world be without God being effective in our lives? Now, when we look at this and we look at Enoch, this was a total collapse of Enoch's will. He was in the world. For 65 years, he was part of what was going on. His will and God's will were certainly not the same. I know that my will was not the same until I met Christ. And there were times, even after meeting Christ and being saved, as I walk with Christ, there are times when his will is different than mine. Actually, it's mine being different than his. His is constant. I would go off the path, and he would have to bring me back. So when we think about that, he's not sitting there. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be effective in your life. So give him that opportunity. Walking is exactly the activity which we are called in the New Testament. Walk as children of light. Paul said, walk worthy of God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the very thing that you and I have been called to do. Are you doing it today? Am I doing it today? There are three things here that we see that will depict Enoch's faith. First, it's the commencement of his walk in faith. Number one, that was the birth of Methuselah. This was a life-changing event, but it didn't change Enoch's walk with God. Every parent in this room knows that when you have a child, it's a life-changing event. There are the 2 a.m. feedings, there's the diaper changing, and there's a limited social life, but there's also a tremendous amount of joy that that child brings into your home and into your life. Other than having a baby, let me ask you this. Has there been a life-changing event in your life that changed your walk with God? I know that as a Christian, that it's happened in my life. I know other Christians that have confided in me that there have been things in their lives that have changed their walk. What happens when a life-changing event takes place like that and our walk is changed? Do we suddenly walk slower than God? Are now we walking 5 or 10 steps behind him? Are we not trusting him? Are we walking away from him in defeat? Or are we staying in step? Are we moving forward? Are we trusting him, knowing that he is the one that can provide all the things that we need? When I think about walking with God and I think about the possibility of actually him being here and actually God just standing there and just reaching down and grabbing your hand and you're walking right alongside of him each and every day, what a difference it would make in everyone's life if he was physically here and doing that. But he's not. We need to trust. It comes down to faith. How much faith do we have in God? So Enoch walked with God after Methuselah's birth. In verse 22 we read, then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. His walk was for 300 years. I can't even begin to comprehend that time frame. 300 years this man was faithful to God. Number two was his renowned faith. Not a single minute for those 300 years that Enoch's walk was faithful, was he not faithful to God. His faithfulness was strong. His walk was strong. Is your walk strong? Is your faith strong? Is mine? The second thing that depicts his faith is the characteristics of his walk. We find it difficult to walk in faith for a day at times. Enoch knew God, and because he knew him, he had faith in him. You see, that's the key to this. Enoch knew God. How do we know God? Well, we know God by reading and studying his word. and we know him by spending time in prayer. There are people in this congregation that I look at and I can say I know them because I spend time with them. I've talked to them. Now, we can't physically talk to God in person, okay? But we can know him because his word tells us all we need to know about God. And every day and every minute that we go into God's word, we learn more of who he is and what he is about. That generates our love toward him and our love for him. Knowing that he loves us and he's willing to take care of us. He wants to be part of our lives. So we do know God. So when Enoch knew God, that's when things changed for him. He allowed God to guide him. Now, when I think of that, how many of you have ever gone on a trip and you've gone on a guided tour? Yeah, we've all done that, right? Now, I'm not talking about a guided tour where you get on a bus, right? And the bus takes you here and you get off and somebody talks and you go to the next one, you get on a bus, or you get back on a bus and you go to another spot and somebody gets off and they show you around. I'm talking about a guided tour where you're out in the wilderness and your guide is the guy who's going to get you from point A to point B. Now, it would be really foolish for you or for me not to follow the guide. You're going to end up getting lost. It could be like Moses in the wilderness. We don't want to be there. It could be scary. It could be very scary. God wants to give us the guidance that we need, but we need to allow him to do that. We need to yield our will to him and not want to be taking things on ourselves. We want to give God the opportunity to do that for us. And when we do, the blessings come. All of a sudden, our life is changing. There's more joy in our life because God now has control. So he turned his life over to God. This is what we are going. If doing the will of God is victory. Doing the will of God is victory. I can guarantee you today that if you are doing the will of God, you will always have victory. You will never, ever be defeated. How do I know that? Well, because in my life, when I am doing the will of God, that's exactly what I have. I have victory. It's when I get lost. It's when I'm not allowing God to guide me. It's when I'm not walking with him. I'm not staying in step that everything kind of falls apart. And it doesn't take much time for it to fall apart. It has to be something that you and I want to do. We want to allow God to guide us. We want to walk with him. We want him to lead us. We want to be a part of what God has for us down the road. He sees a lot further than we could ever see. Do you realize that God's plan for you began the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that plan was laid out at that time? There it was. Bam. Greg Yancarelli. Boom. Saved. This is the plan. It's in place. All we had to do was walk. All I had to do was walk that path. Stay on that path. Every time I got off the path, I got nudged back. Sometimes it was more than a nudge because I needed more than a nudge because I was putting God second and third in my life. But the plan was laid out. It's there. Are you willing to allow God to guide you? Are you willing to walk with God? Is that your desire? How exciting that is. And the benefits that are from that, the blessings that we receive. When I think about blessings, I wonder if when I get to heaven, there's going to be a little room, maybe a big room, maybe one like this, and there's going to be all these boxes, and they're all going to be wrapped, and maybe hundreds of them. And I'm going to find out when I get to heaven that those boxes and those ones that are wrapped are all the blessings that I missed out on because I never asked God to bless me. I never asked God to bless my life. And I missed out on all of those. We can miss out on the blessings that God has for us if we're not aware, if we're not looking to be blessed. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. It's one step at a time. There's always the possibility that we will fall and God will have to pick us up. But we have the promise that God gives us the strength that we can carry on. Are you trusting God to give you the strength? Am I trusting God to give me the strength? The third thing that depicts his faith is a continuation of his walk. Enoch means dedicated. He was dedicated to God. Today, we live in a permissive society. Same-sex marriage. People living together that are not married. You know what? It was God who established marriage, not man. God's word is the same today, yesterday, and forever. In the days of Sodom, it was wrong, and today it's wrong. It's difficult to walk with God at times. No one said it was going to be a walk through the park or a tiptoe through the tulips. Satan is continually trying to turn us away from God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's Satan. We all have struggles. We've all gone through struggles. Enoch made it seem easy, though. Back in his day, people worshipped idols. Here Enoch is worshiping God. Here Enoch is walking with God. Here Enoch is trusting God, and all around him, people are worshiping idols that they've made. How difficult must that have been for him? But he wasn't going to turn away from God. These people were, but he wasn't going to do that. He kept faith. He continued his walk with God. Society would have us to take the easy way. If we're looking for the easy way, it's definitely not the best way. And it's definitely not the dedicated way. How dedicated are you in your life to reading God's word? How dedicated am I? Where's the faith if we are not dedicated? That's what comes from faith. It comes from that dedication. Being dedicated to someone, we can be dedicated to our husband. We can be dedicated to our wife. We're dedicated to our children. We're dedicated to our job, to our boss. There are so many things around us that we can be dedicated to. When I think of this world, I think people being dedicated to movie stars, dedicated to sports figures, dedicated to making money, dedicated to an education where they can make more money. It's all about being dedicated to something other than God. Now, I'm not saying that those things are bad. I'm not saying that we should not be dedicated to our husbands and wives, to our job. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that when those take precedence over God, and they are things that we are more dedicated to than we're dedicated to God, then that is the problem. And you and I, we need to know that our dedication should be totally 100% to God, that nothing should stand in that way. As I've grown as a Christian, I'm sure as you have seen that as you grow, it's a natural thing to become more dedicated to God, to be closer to Him, to want to be closer to Him. It's all about desire. Do you have the desire to be close to God? Do you have the desire to walk with God? Do I have the desire to walk with God? Do I have that much faith that I'm going to put the world aside, that I'm going to focus on God? I want to walk with God. I want to know Him in a very, very personal way so that I can walk with Him. Let me ask you this. If you were on a boardwalk and you're walking on a boardwalk and you saw somebody walk by, would you turn around and just start walking with them and talking to them if you didn't know them? I don't think you would do that. I don't think anybody would do that. So we don't walk with people that we don't know. We walk with people that we have a relationship with. Enoch walked with God because he knew God and had a relationship with Him. The fourth thing that depicts the faith, that depicts his faith, is the consumption of his walk. Enoch walked with God, and the end was he was not, for God took him. And the end was he was not. Enoch never died. I think that is so cool. Enoch never died. That is amazing. He walked a faithful walk. If we are to be what God wants us to be, you and I need to be as faithful as we possibly can. We must have a faithful walk like Enoch's. Enoch is the example. His life turned around. 65 years he lived in this world, bam, for 300 more years he walked with God. The last four words of that verse, for God took him. What a reward for his faith. He was raptured. We could be raptured if Christ decides to return before we die. I would love for that to happen, to be caught up in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ and not have to go through death. What a reward that is. Our faithfulness will count in the end. You know, the hard times are going to come. I can guarantee you that. Most of us know that. If you haven't run into some hard times yet, be prepared because it will happen. But many of us, we've experienced them and we know how to handle it. Those trials and tribulations, we turn to the Lord. We need to turn to God. We can't turn away. It's not what God wants. If he's faithful, we need to be faithful. And I always think that in my life, when I look back and I look at some of the problems other Christians have had, I know that from God's word that he is always faithful, even when I am not, even when I have not been faithful. He has been there. Nothing changes. He doesn't waver. You know, sometimes we think that God isn't there all the time. That sometimes it's like a hands-off type of relationship that we have with God. It's never like that. Never, ever is it like that. When we think of the potter and the clay, and we are faithful to God, we allow him then to work in our lives. We allow him to mold us. The potter has the wheel. The wheel spins, and the potter's hands are on the clay. Until that piece of clay is what the potter wants it to be, his hands never leave the clay. That's God. His hands are on us continuously, molding us, bringing us to a point where he wants us to be. Not where we necessarily want to be, but where he wants to be. I look around and I see people going to the mission field. I'm sure that when they were 12, 15, 16 years old, maybe that was not what their idea of life was going to be. But God spoke to them. He was molding them. And suddenly, there they were. As each day comes and goes, it can be more difficult to be faithful. We all know that. But we can't turn back in defeat. We have to keep moving forward. We have to see God. When you're walking side by side with someone, you turn to them, you talk to them, you're looking right at them. You're looking in their eyes. You're looking in their face. That's what I want to do. I want to get to heaven so I can look Jesus Christ in the face, the Son of God, my Savior, and see him there. I can only think of what that's going to be like. I can only imagine that now. I can only try to keep focused on his face as I live my life here on this earth. God desires us to trust him and walk with him side by side. Man, what a beautiful picture that is, isn't it? Walking side by side with God. Of course, not literally. But he is with us, and we know this, because his word tells us that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. He will never, ever forsake us. He will never leave us. He is there with us at all times. It's our faith that gets us through. How strong is our faith? How strong is your faith? How strong is my faith? How does our faith grow? It grows by the relationship that we have with God. It grows by our walk with him. Faith gives us the power. And faith, like Enoch had, is what we need to have. How wonderful would it be if on your headstone it simply said these words, walked with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you now to thank you that your word is so powerful. I thank you, Father, that we can walk with you. I thank you that you are there always, never, never away from us, that you are affecting our lives in many ways, and that you love us beyond a love that we could ever understand. And that, Father, you are the one who brought this all about. Father, as we think of this and we think about Enoch's faith, I pray, Lord, that the challenge would be this morning that when we leave here, that we would understand that our faith needs to be stronger. I don't think that we as human beings upon this earth could ever have a faith that gets to a point where it's strong enough. Our faith needs to be moving forward. And Father, we need to be moving forward with you. I thank you for this picture of Enoch and what we see, that he walked with God. I pray, Father, that would be something that would be what my life is about. That I could be that person that Enoch was and walk with you. I pray for each member here this morning, that each person sitting here, that would be their desire to walk with you. So, Father, as we take this message that you have given us, as we depart from here and we go about our day, I pray, Father, that our faith would be strong. As we face those trials and tribulations, I pray, Father, that we would not be shaken. That would only make us stronger. That we would be more determined to move forward, even in this world, with all that goes on around us that is not of you. Father, just bless this time, bless us this day, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.